Hey, everybody. Welcome back to StadiaCast. Lloyd is sitting to my right. How is everybody doing? Hello, Lloyd.
How's it going, Bill? How you doing on this fine, crazy, hot, I'm surprised the air doesn't start fire. I don't know. What is it? The 27th of June.
Well, yeah, you and I were comparing the temperatures. We always have to shout at our Google Home devices in order to talk about what the temperature is, because because we live in different countries. But yeah, it's pretty warm. I'm doing great. My middle child graduated high school yesterday, which is why I didn't have an episode of Nintendo Switchcraft come out. I'll record that probably tomorrow or Tuesday. But I am now officially on vacation, although I'm still going to go into work probably tomorrow to check on a couple of things. But I'm official that I no longer have to go to work for anything. That won't stop me, unfortunately. Let's start talking about video games, though. We've got a whole bunch of Stadia stuff to talk about. If you did not know, we record this show live every single Sunday morning, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern. So make sure that you go over to our YouTube channel if you're listening to the podcast. That YouTube channel is nerdnest.tv. Once you're there, you can click on the subscribe button. You can click on the alerts, and then you're notified each and every time we go live. On top of that, I also want to say that we've got a little experiment that we're doing right after the show. We're going to be streaming our D&D group. Now, you won't be able to see our faces or anything, but you'll just be able to see our D&D table, which you'll hear us talking about what we're doing and rolling dice and stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you haven't already checked that out, there's a link in the description down below, and that's going to be live for everybody. But if you're not a member, you won't be able to see it once it's no longer live. And that's one way that we're trying to say thank you to our members for helping us out and supporting the channel. And if you want to become a member, click on the join button down below. Let's get started talking about video games. What have you been playing, man?
It's been a good week for gaming. I've had a heck of a lot more time this week playing. I think I played something on every single console, like modern console, that I use over the last little bit, which has been great. But I have been playing some Stadia games, and I've been incredibly surprised for the good and the bad with the Stadia games I've been playing. The first one is the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, the official video game that dropped on Stadia last week. It was a game that we talked about for a while, Bill, and we were kind of like, oh, this would be, looks kind of fun. It looks kind of interesting. Got the game, did the first look. And I got to say, I don't think I've had so much fun with like a sporting game since, like, I don't know, Wii Sports, where you're playing the sport, but it's not the sport. It's a little bit simulated. There's some weird things, like the baseball. You're not fielding. you're not running. You're not base running. If that stuff is auto, all you're doing is pitching. If you're the pitcher or batting for all the people, if you're the batter side. But I got to say, man, I am really, really impressed with Tokyo 2020 Olympics on Stadia. It's really, really family friendly. There is nothing difficult from any of the events that are in there that young kids and older grandparents couldn't play, which is really fun. I've played some other of the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games games, and they were kind of the same, but they were trying to be a little bit more gamey, I feel, at least the ones that I played. It's been like probably 3-4 years since I've played one of those. And this one is just, I don't know, way better. I'm really, really enjoying it. I know you've been playing it as well, Bill. What are your thoughts on Tokyo 2020 Olympics?
That game is really cool. I expected to not give a damn about it, but it's really, really fun. It also has that new feature where, and I so haven't cool. tested that part yet, but where you can sit down with somebody and do couch co-op, or not necessarily co-op, like maybe you're playing against each other, but they can log in and make progress on their character, because your characters, like, they level up, they gain new things, you can unlock new outfits to wear and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But overall, I'm very, very impressed with this game. I feel like it is a bunch of mini games, and there's something there that everybody's going to enjoy. I was just testing a couple of things out, and I got totally sucked into the table tennis, It's really, yeah. really fun.
It is.
You know,
it
you
is.
Just swing your racket with your right stick, and you, you move with your left stick, and like that's pretty much the entire controls, except for like your supercharge ability, where you just hold down L and R before you do it.
Right.
I think this game is fantastic, and I, you know, I don't. Do you remember how much it is?
I think it's 40. I think it's $40. I want to say. Yeah. I think that's what it is, 40 US. Yeah, I thought kind of the same thing, like boxing. Of all things, I expected boxing to be like your standard boxing game, like Knockout Kings or all the other boxing things where you're hitting buttons and blocking. And no, like they do really interesting control methods where you're basically just moving the analog sticks. That's all. So if you push it up, you're doing uppercuts. If you do the right one, you're doing a right. If you do the left one, you're doing a left. Just makes it super simple. Like you don't have to worry about a whole button layout and like all these complex inputs. Makes it really fun. One thing that I had a plan yesterday to sit down with the family, and we were going to have kind of like a tournament, sort of play a bunch of the games, and then a bunch of stuff kind of like fell apart. Didn't get a chance to do that. Watch some people play it themselves, not co-op, and everybody had a big dumb smile on their face while they're playing this game. I can see this one's going to be broken out at parties. It seems really fun, but like you said, the couch feature, to have your progression sync, even though you're not the person that started the game. Mm-hmm. What a great feature. It's super smart. On my video that I posted, a bunch of people are like, oh, it would have been better with a QR code. And yeah, I think there's probably smoother ways for Google to do this. But right out of the gate, this is a really cool feature. And I can't remember having that sort of feature in very many console games on like going to a friend's house on Xbox and you log into your Xbox profile and sync your stuff across that way. So I think this is really interesting and a cool way to do it, since that, I mean, there's no memory cards because you're in the cloud. There's no way that you can bring a USB key to bring save games back and forth because everything's in the cloud. And it was just a really smart and well-engineered way to add that support to video games. So Tokyo 2020 is the first one to do that. And then hopefully every other multiplayer game on Stadia will get a patch, and then all future games will support something like that, because I think that's going to be a huge feature, more so for like if you bring your iPad and a Stadia controller out for lunch and you're sitting outside because COVID's still around, then your buddy comes by with his Stadia controller and he links up with you, and then you're playing like, I don't know, a fighting game or a racing game and just doing it like that. I think that's just such a great feature that Stadia added.
So I haven't played every type of mini game yet. Which one is your favorite? Actually, before you answer that, somebody in chat asked, can you play a full game of baseball? I haven't tried the baseball yet. So you have. Can you play a full game?
I think so. When I jumped into baseball, it asked you how many innings. So I've just done the 3-inning baseball stuff. I haven't done like a full baseball game. But just to be clear, it's not like you're playing like MLB The Show or anything. You're pitching and then you're batting, and that's pretty much it. But everything else is kind of happening in the background, or at least what I've seen. Maybe there's some pro mode that I'm losing, but I don't think that's a thing. But yeah, you can alter the number of innings and things like that. It's fun. I don't understand the you know how you have like the box on the screen when you're pitching or when you're batting, and then it has like a ball spinning and then there's a bat. I'm not really sure what that means yet, because it doesn't seem like you don't have to have the little cursor in the place where the ball is to still hit the ball. So I'm still figuring out some of these things, but yeah, really, really enjoying those mini games. So we were talking about favorite mini games, Bill. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite? The table tennis?
I mean, of the ones that I've played so far, I really like the table tennis. I can see myself doing like a crowd play stream where people come and kick my butt at table tennis over and over and over, and that sounds like a blast to me. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know what my favorite is. I really like the boxing, which is not a game that I expected to really enjoy that much, because usually the mini games, when you have a collection of mini games like that, the boxing is one of the hardest ones because you have to memorize all the button inputs and things. This one is just like you slam the sticks, which is really great. So I really like the boxing, but I really, really, really like the tennis. It reminds me a lot of kind of like a Mario Tennis, because you have your power moves, you can do the lobs and slices, you can put spin on the ball, but they do it in a really interesting way where it doesn't seem like, if you're early with an input, it still seems like you're going to hit the ball. Like the wiggle room on each side of an early hit or a late hit seems to be really wide, which is going to make it very easy for kids and older people like myself to play that game when you're playing multiplayer and stuff like that. So I find myself coming back to tennis pretty regularly. And then, of course, the swimming and the track stuff, slamming on the buttons, having my Apple Watch say, "Hey, are you washing your hands? You didn't wash for a full 20 seconds. I'm like, "I'm not washing my hands. Any moisture that you're sensing, Apple Watch, is just my sweat from banging the controller so much." But yeah, I really like the game. I really like all the mini games that I've played. I think the only one that I haven't done yet that I can think of is the wall climbing. I keep forgetting to play that one.
I've played that one. That one's kind of cool. So it took me a minute to figure it out, but you use both sticks, and what you do is it will have like a line. Like as you get to position X, there'll be like a little line that's basically saying that's how you get over to position Y, and you take whatever stick that's on the side of, and you have to point it in that direction, and once you get it perfect, you let go and the person will reach up and climb up to that point. And then the other side will show up, and then you have to do the same thing with the other stick. And so you're doing this left, right kind of thing.
Right.
God, nobody clip that little dance I was just doing. But it's actually kind of cool. It took me, I feel like with all of these games, it took me a little bit to understand what I was supposed to do, because I feel like the tutorial doesn't really explain in a good way, like, this is what you do. So I was confused, like, for the hammer throw. I kept throwing into the net over and over and over, and that's because I was looking at the shot put on the end of the chain, and I wasn't looking at the line as it goes into that little graded area. The long jump, I was struggling with the long jump because I couldn't figure out that, I was supposed to point the stick in the 45 degree direction. I thought that what would happen is I would jump and then the meter would go up and I would hit a button or something. And I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do there. Once I figured it out, I was like, okay, that makes total sense now that I know it. But it's not it's not super obvious to somebody who doesn't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. It's one of those things where half of the, maybe probably more than half, they have a stamina meter. The other half don't. And it's like, well, how tightly do I have to manage the stamina meter? If anybody watched my first look, I thought I was drowning while I was swimming because I just got destroyed by the computer and I used up all my stamina, and you just kind of lay in the water. You're doing a kind of like a dead man's float. And I'm like, did I kill my athlete? Like, what's happening here? Like, is there a fatality in these games? Like, is it Mortal Kombat meets the Olympic Games? So managing the stamina meter in some of the events and not the other events is going to take some getting used to. But what a great game. Like, you were mentioning some of the older, well, the way that you thought it would control with, like, wait till a little meter comes up at 45 degrees and you hit the button again. It reminds me of, like, the old, I think it was like Epic Summer Games and Winter Games and Track and Field and some of these old Olympic games that I played over at a buddy's house on his Commodore 64. Like, it reminds me like it's a remastered version of those types of games, which is really cool. Instead of trying to make it super arcadey and giving the character a control of the characters in every way, it seems like it's mini games, but it's done in a really smart way, very much like Wii Sports, where you're playing mini games, but it didn't really feel like mini games for a lot of it. Of course, bowling was a little bit more than mini games, and so was like boxing, but the rest of them were kind of mini game-y. So yeah, I really like this game. I didn't expect for me to be talking about this for 20 minutes because it's an Olympics game. Usually it's a marketing tie-in. The Olympics organization wants to make as much money as possible on that year, so they license everything. This isn't that game. It's really, really a lot of fun, and it really surprised me.
Yeah, and so look forward to a crowd play stream from one of us at some point in the near future. If you own the game, you'll be able to join us. It's really cool. I like it a lot. Let's move on to the other game that we've both been playing this week, and that's Hello Engineer. What are your thoughts on that?
You know,
actually, before you give your thoughts on it, can you just explain everybody what it is?
Sure. So Hello Engineer, if you've seen Hello Neighbor, and then Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek, it's kind of the same idea. You have a bunch of little kids, but this time you're not trying to break into a building. You're actually trying to make stuff. So it reminds me a lot of there's a bunch of games out there right now where they're like physics engines where you build stuff and then the physics react with what you're building. This reminds me a lot of like Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts and how you're kind of snapping things together on vehicles. But Hello Engineer is basically a game where you are building stuff and making stuff. I played a little bit yesterday and there's a story mode, and I quickly got lost in the story mode when I got to like the fourth mission where you have to hook up these little cubes and then this axle and tires, where it shows you how you have to hook up the cube. Like there's this little kind of like, it looks like a, I don't know, it looks like an old lantern, but I guess that's where the steering wheel is attached. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put the cube to the thing where it said for me to put it. So I played that for like 15 minutes trying to snap it like the proper way, and it just wasn't working. And that's when I didn't rage quit because I wasn't angry. I'm just like, okay, maybe this needs a little bit more work because it is in early access. So I'd quit out of it. I'm not sure what I think of the Hello Engineer, which is kind of my thoughts with most of the Hello games. Like I understand there's like cores of fun to be had in all of those games, but for some reason there's just enough like jaggy, unsanded surfaces where it to me it's not enjoyable, and then I quickly bounce and say, okay, maybe I'll check it out again later. So that's kind of what my thoughts on Hello Engineer are. I think it needs more time in the oven. I think
I agree that it needs more time in the oven, but it, like you said, it is an early access game, so that's exactly to be expected. I'm not sure how I feel about it either. I'm a little bit further than you. The second level, actually, I got stuck on and stopped playing for like 3 or 4 days because like you had to put these two giant tires on the front of your little car. I guess right. I should explain how the story mode works real quick. Basically, you build a vehicle, and then you try and race that vehicle, not against other people, but just like your best time to get from point A to point B, and then you move on to the next little thing. And this is essentially the tutorial. Right. So I had to, on the second level, I had these giant tires. I put them on. I get in the vehicle. I move forward. There's this large, I don't know, like piece of debris in the road that you have to go over, and you have to hit it at just the right speed or your whole vehicle flips over. And I just kept flipping my vehicle over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Or I would get like halfway over the thing and I wouldn't be able to go anymore. And I felt like I was playing with mouse and keyboard. Oh my God, okay. The controller is terrible. Controller is like, it's like you're controlling the camera through syrup or something. But I was like holding down my WB and I was like almost pushing the W key through the keyboard, trying to go a little bit faster so that I could get over that hump. That is not fun. Yeah. I finally got past that. And then I got to the part that you were talking about, and somebody in chat mentioned this. You have to pick up the parts there's different points that you can pick them up at. So you can pick it up at the left side or the right side or the middle. And if you don't pick it up in the right spot, then you're not holding on to the right spot in order to attach it. And each level has like this little, I'm going to say like a video that you can watch that is showing you what to do, but it's really kind of grainy looking, and it's not good. So I'm like on level 6 or something, and I can see where this game has a lot of potential, but that potential, like the mechanics are really cool, but the game isn't fun yet. And of course, I'm not playing multiplayer, and it's one of those games that is supposed to be like multiplayer, but I want to understand how everything works, and going through the tutorial stuff, it's just, it's not enjoyable. I'm just kind of bored with it, which is too bad. I hope that it gets better, but I don't know. We'll see. Early access. So, you know, TBD.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel the exact same way as you. When I first started the game, I was playing controller. You look left and right, and you're like, oh, okay, okay, okay. It takes like 5 seconds to go 10 degrees with your camera. So I went to the options, and I cranked that all the way up, and it became a little bit better. But they drop you right in the game. They don't give you any directions. You just, you see like a kid running, and I'm like, okay, this is a cool cinematic. And then it doesn't move. And I'm like, oh, did the game freeze? Like, what's happening? And then I realize, oh, you have control. You're in first person mode. And you basically just walk straight and then cross the finish line. And then it's like, level's complete. Congratulations. Yeah. Like, what? This was a level? What's happening? So yeah, the onboarding is a little bit weird. Some of the construction stuff needs a, like, I understand that the story mode is the tutorial, but I think the tutorial needs a tutorial to kind of teach some things, because not able to snap the piece where I wanted it, so then I couldn't actually steer my ship, or my car rather, was just like, hey, this is dumb. I'm gonna come back to it later. And that's when I just escaped out and went and played some other things. So yeah, it needs some more time in the oven for sure.
You know, you say the tutorial needs a tutorial. What I think that they ought to do is they should have like a little voiceover. Excuse me. They should have like a little voiceover that says, all right, now pick up this thing and attach it to that thing. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go do that. Instead of having like a fourth of my screen covered up with this video that shows me what to do, just have somebody tell me, here's step one. And then I, as I complete step one, then say, all right, you did it. Great job. Move on to step two. I think that would be a lot better. But you know what? It's like we said, it's early access, but also there's also something to be said for something that is just like, just do whatever you want. And like, kind of like Minecraft, that kind of thing makes sense. So I think that it has potential. I love that you can put the parts together, and then I switched to like the wiring tool, and I had to connect like an engine to this thing and reverse the polarity and increase the amount of power that the engine has. There's a lot of depth to the gameplay, I believe, but the tutorial is boring as all get out. So, you know, we'll see if it turns out to be better at some point.
I 100% agree. My son watches a lot of YouTubers playing games like this, and I don't know the names of any of these games. They all look the same. You're snapping things on, putting an engine, wiring up the engine. Some of them have it so you are basically making a computer that does things. Other times you're in direct control of things. So I understand why they did this. Like, Tiny Build did this game. It makes total sense. This is kind of the thing that is super popular right now. And the way that they always release their stuff in early access or open beta and then make them better. Like, when Hello Neighbor first launched, it wasn't great for a lot of reasons, and then it got better as patches came. So I'm hopeful that this will be one of those games, and who knows, maybe my son will watch one of my YouTube videos if I play one of these games instead of watching all these other randos.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the news. We finally can use Stadia on all of our Android TV devices. Obviously, not all of them. There are some that are not supported, although a lot of the ones that are quote-unquote not supported work through the experimental features.
Yep.
So you can look that up yourself. I've been playing it on my Shield TV Pro, and I played it a little bit on the official the Google TV. What are your thoughts on this, Lloyd?
Yeah, I'm impressed how well it works. I'm also disappointed at some of the lacking features, but I'll get into the disappointment down the road. I've played Stadia mostly on my Chromecast with Google TV. I also played it on my Shield Pro. Chromecast with Google TV is beautiful. I find that games look better on my screen right in front of me. I have a 4K monitor that I play most of my games on. The old CCU, I found that maybe half of the time the HDR was just like overdone and blown out and things looked really weird, but and then the other half of the time everything was maybe a little bit dark. I find that the colors look really nice on the Chromecast with Google TV. It seems like the video is better for some reason. There doesn't seem to be in some of the games, like jump back into like Valhalla and some of the other ones. Like when you're running around at night in Valhalla, I found that there was a lot of macro blocks, like big cubes in the shadows and darkness. Even with HDR turned on, which is supposed to make that not happen because there's more data coming, so you shouldn't have those macro blocks. I'm not getting that on Chromecast with Google TV. I'm really impressed. I've been hearing a lot of people in the community say, I could never play my Chromecast on Wi-Fi. It was unplayable if I was playing a game over Wi-Fi. Google TV seems to be working fine through Wi-Fi. Having the better Wi-Fi chips in this thing seems to be a huge bonus. I'm really, really, really digging it. I think if I had a complaint, my only complaint is when the Google TV kind of splash screen, you know, has like they cycle the photos, there isn't the controller connect code at the top. So mm-hmm. I always forget what my controller code is. and I'm kind of disappointed that my Shield Pro has a really good code, really easy to remember, but I'm usually playing on my Chromecast. So it's like, damn, can we edit those codes to make it a little bit easier?
That'd be great.
But yeah, I really like the experience. I just really wish that when you leave the Stadia app on Chromecast or Google TV, you could still use your controller to control the interface, at least to go down to the sleep and turn your Google TV off, because I'm used to my Shield Pro playing that with a Xbox Series S controller. You can control the whole UI with a controller. You can't do that on the Google or Chromecast with Google TV, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would also like to be able to turn on my device with, like, you use the Chromecast Ultra and you just pick up your Stadia controller and turn it on, it turns on it just starts Stadia. That doesn't happen with the Google TV or obviously the Shield TV Pro. I wish that was something that happened. Your idea about customizing the codes, I mean, how hard would that be? Just let us do that. You know, I do want to talk about something. Somebody was asking earlier, why doesn't HDR work on the Shield TV Pro? That's because HDR requires you to use a very specific codec, and that codec is currently not supported by the Shield TV Pro. Now, I don't know if that's something that can be fixed in firmware or not, but that might change the math for some people, because I was going to use my Shield TV Pro, and most of the time I had HDR turned off anyway, because it felt, like you said, it felt kind of crappy on the Chromecast Ultra. Mm-hmm. Hearing you say, oh, it works great on the Google TV, all right, well, maybe I'll end up using that instead of the Shield TV Pro. I can just move the Shield TV Pro downstairs and bring up my Google TV up here. So that's definitely something that's going to have to factor into the math. And I ended up springing for the Ethernet adapter. For those of you that don't know, the Google TV doesn't come with an Ethernet adapter, and some people might bristle at that idea. And I just want to remind everybody that is a device for a much larger audience that does not give a damn about Stadia and how important Ethernet is for Stadia. When you're streaming a movie on Netflix, it buffers a whole bunch, and because it buffers a whole bunch, if there's a problem, you're not going to notice. But because you have to be much more interactive with playing a game on Stadia, it can't buffer. It can't like buffer all of that stuff and hold on to it and say, all right, well, if there's a mistake, then we'll fix it in later. You can't do that. So, you know, Ethernet is a lot more important when you're talking about this kind of system. But anyway, I think that this is fantastic. And, you know, I put out a video that said my basic thoughts were, because there are so many Android TVs out there, this is going to be huge if they pre-install Stadia, and Google is doing something very, very interesting.
Yeah.
They are now advertising in the For You section, although there's a lot of people who are angry about the For You section because they don't like that it's advertising, and I totally understand that. but Google is now advertising. They're saying, hey, why don't you try out Destiny 2 on Stadia right here on this device? All you got to do is hook up a controller, and it doesn't have to be a Stadia controller. It can be any controller that you have in your house, you know, right, with a little asterisk after it, depending on what controller that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Oh, and I didn't even notice this. Look at this. It says, as spotted this afternoon by Clive Illenden. He's another content creator, so make sure you check out his stuff. What do you think about the ads?
I don't mind that they're ads, because so far it's only been free games. So it's not really advertising something to sell to you, just like they're advertising streaming videos that you actually have to have a subscription for to play those as well. So I don't see it as ads so much as showing off available content that you have access to. It's funny that Clive is in this article, because we were chatting that morning and I was like, yeah, it would be really nice. Like, it would be great if Google could just push Stadia out to everybody, have the icon or do anything. And then we were talking, oh, remember the whole U2 thing that was garbage on Apple phones and blah, 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 blah. And then I said, you know what? The best thing would be just, you know, at the top of the screen where they have those slides, every once in a while say, hey, you already have Stadia. Click here to check out the games, or whatever the wording was. And then literally 30 minutes later, Clive's like, hey, would this do? And then it's a picture of the Destiny 2 thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought they should do. So yeah, Google's been very smart at how they did this. And I don't know if they really, if it feels like they, because some people are saying, well, I don't understand why it took them 6 months to do this. It's the exact same app. It isn't. It's very different from the tablet or phone app. I think they had to do a lot of stuff to kind of build this in to a device that isn't like the Chromecast that is always listening for a stream being sent to it. I think they did a really good job, but I do think this is pass one, and there's going to be a lot of revision that's going to happen to this app. I can't see why in the future there isn't going to be a controller code linking at the top of the screen. Like, that just seems like no brainer. And then maybe have it so that if a controller links to that session, it pops up the Stadia app automatically. I wouldn't be surprised if that came down the road. But I'm really happy with the performance. People are disappointed that it's essentially the Chromecast UI. Yeah, it is the Chromecast UI, but it's like 1,000 times faster than the Chromecast UI. You don't page over 4 or 5 game icons and then have to wait a few seconds for the other JPEGs to kind of load in as you're making your way through it. It's buttery smooth. It's to me, it feels just as fast as if I was playing it like through a web browser to get to my games. Instead of scrolling down, I'm scrolling left or right. Sorry, which is just as fast to me as kind of scrolling down. So yeah, I don't know. I really like this. Good job for kind of like the first kick at the can. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of revisions and features and additions and stuff, like I said. Yeah, it's nice. And the best part about this is now there's like millions upon millions of devices out there that now are going to be popping up things that, hey, do you want to play Destiny 2? And people that don't know what Stadia is are all of a sudden going to be clicking that button, doing the super, super quick onboarding, and then jumping right into Destiny 2 on a device that they bought because it was like a $30 impulse buy as they're walking through Best Buy, picking up some DVDs or whatever, right? Something on sale. They grab one, hook it up, and next thing you know, they're playing Destiny, and they're like, wow, I don't need a new console anymore. All the games I want are on this thing. So this is going to be huge for the future of Stadia, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to jump in with what you were saying about the UI. Holy God, it is fast. Like, you just hold down the right button and your games fly by so incredibly quick. So much better of an experience. God, I wish Stadia had launched with this instead of with the Chromecast Ultras. Secondly, I want to say that I am one of the people that think it's ridiculous that we have... I mean, look, as a Stadia content creator, I have a ton of games. I have well over 100 games on Stadia. And if I wanted to play Farming Simulator 19, we'll get back to that in a little bit, I got to hold down the right button on my controller for like 20 seconds to get to the end, you know? And it is ridiculous. It would be so much better... Like, leave that UI exactly the way it is, but if I push down, put all of my games in like a 20 by, I'm sorry, like a 5x4 grid of games and let me just page through them that way, or allow me to use like the left bumper or the right bumper to like page over to the next thing, or put them in put this in alphabetical order and then pick a letter. Like, okay, I want to look at the L's and bring up all of the L's that way, and then I can find the game that I'm looking for. The second thing that I want to say about the UI is there's no way to buy a game on Stadia. You have to have a phone. This is a huge fail, in my opinion. Google, you got to let people just use the device that they have and buy a game right like that, because it's, you're going to get people that are like, well, how do I buy this game? I don't know. They don't know about using your phone. And like, yes, there's a little button there that says, go to your phone. Fine. If I hit that button, well, first off, don't make me hit that button. But if you make me hit that button, have it pop up a QR code. I point my phone at it and it loads it. It sends me right to the app store to buy that, or to get that app on my phone so that I can then do it. Those are the kind of things that need to happen. I think that right there is kind of a pain, but this is definitely a huge step up from what we had. And somebody in chat is saying, why is that a fail? Because otherwise guests can use my TV and buy a game. Don't have those guests in your house then. I don't know what to tell you. I don't let people I don't invite people over that would do that. Maybe you need better guests. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that on every console. If someone jumps on your Xbox store and they click buy on Cyberpunk, well, that's not good. And all of those other stores allow you to put like some sort of parental control on it if you are worried about that. So you have to punch in a PIN code. One thing that I didn't think to start or to try, which apparently works, is when you buy the Chromecast with Google TV, you get this right nice remote, which is being very blown out, which is actually working in my favor. Because this little button here, this little voice button, you can just hit that and say, hey, start, Tokyo 2020 Olympics, and we'll start that game directly, which would help. But some UI chain tweaks would be nice. Folders, some other way of looking at your games would be fantastic. The ability to buy games on your TV is a no-brainer. That has to happen, and I'm sure that will come at some point.
Right, I agree.
But the other big missing feature is Google or Stadia supports live streaming right from the Google Cloud to YouTube. It's not built into this device. Like, you still have to have a computer to start that session, to link it to whatever YouTube streaming session is going on. And it's such a huge hassle, and it just requires a whole bunch of workarounds. There should be an option right inside of the UI to say, hey, start this stream, which channel you want to pick it on. It shows all the channels that are linked to your Google account. You choose that. What do you want to name it? Is this okay? Yes. Boom, your stream starts. So there's a lot of functionality that they need to add to it. But I think this is the first step at unifying the UI, because right before this app came out, well, we got an update to the PC app or the web browser app, where when you're looking at, when you go to Google or stadia.google.com, you only have a couple game icons. They're trying to get you used to only having one row of games instead of a page that is like 17 feet long if you printed it out. So maybe they are trying to unify the experience across all the devices. Having one way to do things on every device would be a really, really great thing. But I'm very impressed at this app. I expected it just to be the iPad app or the Android tablet app. Obviously, there's no iPad app. The Android tablet app. But this is a wholly new app, and I hope new functionality keeps coming. But good job, Google, on getting this one out of the gate and having it work so darn well on day one.
Yeah. Karate Guy Joe in chat says, the lack of streaming on Google TV may be a temporary problem with bandwidth. I don't quite understand what you mean by that, because when you are streaming on Google TV or on Stadia, what happens is they are streaming a stream to you, and they then duplicate that and send it to YouTube. It's not being sent from you, which is why streaming on Stadia is such a important thing, because it's something that a lot more people will be able to do. Because most people are limited by their upload way more than they are by their download. And you have to have a really good upload speed in order to do what like Lloyd and I do. If you want to just stream and you got a crappy upload speed, you don't have to increase like what you're paying in order to get that good upload speed, because you're not uploading much of anything to YouTube. So exactly. That's not quite working the way that I think that you think it is, but I could also be wrong by what you meant. All right, let's move on. So we talked about the Olympic Games. We talked about Hello Neighbor. We talked about the new Chromecast stuff. Borderlands 3. Let's talk about Borderlands 3 real quick. Borderlands 3 now has crossplay. Began like 3 days ago. It's also free this weekend if you're a Stadia Pro subscriber. Borderlands 3 is one of the best games that I have played on Stadia. I love that game. Beat it. Had an absolute blast with it. Lloyd beat it. Played all the DLC. He's a maniac when it comes to Borderlands. And it's free to play this weekend and now has crossplay with everybody except for Sony, because the publisher has decided not to do that. Well, my guess is that's because the publisher doesn't want to pay the Sony tax that comes along with making your game cross-platform. But
right.
Are you jumping back in and reactivating your Vault Hunter this weekend, Lloyd?
I did a little bit. I played a little bit of Borderlands 3, and then I had to go do some yard work, and then I didn't come back to it. I love Borderlands. I love Borderlands. It's unfortunate that the only other version of Borderlands we have in this house is on PlayStation, so I can't even play co-op with my son. Although I did get the base game, and then I bought the deluxe or the super deluxe version that came with the game. So I probably have two licenses. I'm sure we could just boot up two Stadia instances. I'll have to check that out today. But yeah, Borderlands is it's fantastic. Crossplay. We didn't know crossplay was really coming. We knew it was coming in the future, but we didn't know it was going to drop when it dropped. And pretty darn awesome. And for people that maybe don't have Stadia Pro and aren't going to be playing the free weekend, or if you did play the free weekend and you want to keep it coming, the game is on sale for under $20. It's like $19.79 or something on the US Stadia store. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours of content in the main game. There's two season passes with a bunch of DLC. Just a fantastic title and a really great way to play with your friends on Stadia. A really, really good looter shooter with what is it, something like 300 trillion weapons that are available in the game. I can't remember the number. It's a huge number because of all the modifiers and bonuses and things that you can do. This is a really, really great thing. A good weekend for people to check this out, because you could get a new Chromecast, hook up your Xbox controller, jump into Stadia, sign up for your Pro, and it's like, I can play Borderlands. This is amazing. And then you're immediately playing Borderlands instead of watching Netflix or whatever else you were doing.
Mm-hmm. And they also, for those of you that have been playing Borderlands for a long time, they also increased the level cap up to a maximum of 72. So now you have 70 skill points to play with in order to customize your character the way that you want to customize your character. I think that this is awesome. I'm very happy that it's crossplay. I've tried playing with other people before, and I've always kind of had none of my friends were online at the time. And so being able to match up with randoms and run around killing the crazy people, I forget what they're called, where they scream hilarious things as they run towards you. Yes, remember my name, you know, that those guys. It's such a great game. I just wish that Sony would pull their heads out of their rear and allow crossplay without forcing devs to pay the price. But you know what? I'm happy that 2K Games, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy that 2K Games is like telling Sony, no, I don't think so, and moving on.
What a great PR thing to do. It's like, oh yeah, we're not doing it, and it's our publisher, and the publisher isn't doing it because they don't want to pay the money. And the more companies that put pressure on Sony to get cross play as something that is just allowed on the platform, the better it's going to be for everybody, especially us Stadia players, because we have noticeably smaller lobbies and potential people playing, but being able to cross play with every other console and platform will be a good thing. Hopefully Sony gets their head out of their vault and allows people to do that.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. Okay, hey, one more last question about Borderlands, although I'd really love to end on that, get your head out of your vault thing. That's great. Here's my question for you. You played recently, and you played when it first came out, and it was one of the first games on Stadia. It's my understanding that it performs a lot better than it did when we went through and finished the game. Is that true?
100%. When Borderlands 3 first dropped on Stadia, there was noticeable input lag. But it wasn't input lag. It was it was some frame rate issues. Since like a month after, they came out with hot fixes, and they came out with more hot fixes. But playing it today, it plays to me just as smooth as Doom Eternal. Like it's fast. You have full control. It plays really well, and it looks absolutely fantastic. So it's definitely a better game than it was when it first dropped on Stadia.
Absolutely. All right. Speaking of games that get updates, look at that for a segue right there. Just nice. Shapes and Beats is this really cool rhythm game. It's a multiplayer. Well, you can play solo or you can play a multiplayer. And it's getting an update coming on July 23rd. It's coming to all platforms that the game is on. And it's called The Lost Chapter. Have you played Just Shapes and Beats, Lloyd?
I have, yeah. I really like the game. I love the music. Mm-hmm. The game gets in the way of the music for me because I keep dying and it's like, I just want to listen to the rest of this track. Really, really fun game. Getting more content to it is really great. But I think the best thing for me is when you look at this this little image that we have on screen, if you're watching the video. If not, it's just kind of like a title card update coming July 23rd on. And the first little the first platform there is Google Stadia. Usually Google Stadia is right at the end after PC. This is the opposite. It's Stadia, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, and Steam. So nice to see that little stylized S being right up front to show people where you can play this update.
I will say this: the single player game is fantastic. My brain cannot handle two characters on the screen at the same time. Like, I tried to play with my son because he loves this game. And he was like, let's play Just Shapes and Beats. And I sat down next to him, and I couldn't keep track of which character I was, even though they're different characters, just because there's so much happening on the screen at the same time. My brain was just went into overload mode, and I just kept trying to control his character instead of mine. And that ended up getting me killed a whole bunch. But, man, what a cool game. Really awesome boss fights. The music, like you said, is fantastic. And... It's a really great game on Stadia. Mm-hmm. Speaking, you know what? I wish I hadn't closed that because there's currently a sale on Stadia, and let me bring that up real quick. I want to see the Stadia Summer Sale continues this week. I just scrolled down to you can bring this up. Actually, I'll just put it on screen and then you can see it too, Lloyd. Sure. So. The games that are on sale right now, of course, Ubisoft games are always on sale on Stadia. Do not buy an Ubisoft game at full price on any platform because they always put their games on sale. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm just letting everybody know. We got a bunch of Ubisoft games on sale on Stadia. Like you said, Borderlands 3 is on sale for less than $20. You can get the Bounty of Blood for less than $10. We've got lots of Borderlands stuff. Keep scrolling. Chronos Before the Ashes is on sale for $22.49. I love that game. I'm currently stuck on a boss, but somebody sent me a message on Google Stadia. I was like at work last week, and I got a message on Google Stadia, which doesn't happen too often, but I looked at it, and I was like, oh, okay. And I looked, and they showed me like a screenshot and a little hint of what to do. So I might do a video showing exactly how to get past this one boss, because this boss is like a big old slap in the face. Darksiders Genesis is on sale, but I own that game, so I can't see what the sale price is. Dead by Daylight is on sale. Dirt 5 is on sale. Doom 64. Doom Eternal, the greatest first-person shooter of all time, in my opinion, is on sale. El Hijo is on sale. Anything else in here that's jumping out at you as something? Oh, Kona! This cool murder mystery in 1970s Canada is on sale. Yeah. Anything jumping out at you?
I like that Octopath Traveler is on sale. I'd like to see that sale price drop just a little bit. It's $40 here in Canada, and I already own it on Switch, but I'd love to play through that game again at my leisure. There's just like everything. Red Dead is on sale. PGA Tour is on sale. That had a free weekend last weekend. A bunch of the Elder Scrolls. Every Ubisoft game, as you said, is on sale. The one funny thing about these sales is I pretty much own everything, so it's kind of weird because I can't see any prices, which is really annoying. But yeah, this is a really great sale. Some really great games, all the way down to like Monster Jam. If you just want to crush some things with monster trucks, that is a cheap way. There's a cheap way to do that now as well. So yeah, go check out those sales. They're pretty decent.
All right, I'm going to give one more before we move on, and that's Valkyria Chronicles 4. I love that game. $20 down from $50? That's a really good deal. And that game is a stupid amount of content. Like, it is so much gameplay. I probably put 30 hours on it, and I'm not even halfway through that game. It's really, really good. Super fun game. Definitely check that out. Those are the games that are on sale right now on Google Stadia. Let's talk about a game that's coming out later on this year to Google Stadia. A lot of people are going to be excited for this. I'm not one of them, but I will try it anyway because I want to understand why everybody loves these games so much, and that is Farming Simulator 22. Like I said, in order for me to get to Farming Simulator 19, I got to hold down the button on my controller for a really long time to get all the way to the end because that's the game that I've played the absolute least. But it is an incredibly popular game, and it's coming to Stadia. They just put out this cinematic trailer, is what they're calling it. And I gotta say, this cinematic trailer hit home with me as somebody who lives in the middle of nowhere, very very rural area. It hit home with me. There's this scene where the daughter in this is driving a tractor, and there's a line of cars behind her waiting to get by. And I was like, yep, that absolutely happens all of the time in here. You're driving down the street and, yep, there's a tractor that is holding up traffic. So I was like, yep, that absolutely happens.
100%.
Are you going to try this game out or do you just not care at all?
I don't understand the why. Like, it's like my son will every once in a while, he'll have like a game day with his friend and they play Farming Simulator. And I'm like, what? You could play like first person shooters. You could play Minecraft. You could play all this stuff, but you want to drive tractors? Okay. I don't understand. And the best part about that is not every game needs to be for everybody. This cinematic trailer does look good. It's a calling is the tagline for it, which kind of makes sense. If you're a farmer, you're a farmer. I have friends that are farmers and they've said stuff like that to me in the past, that they love farming because it's in their blood. So I guess that's kind of what this game is. It's interesting that they're adding like vineyards and stuff into this. I guess they didn't like that another game was kind of treading on their feet a little bit about making a vineyard. So now you can do it in Farming Simulator. But yeah, all jokes aside, this is a huge franchise, even though it's easy to make jokes about. But this is a huge game, and a lot of people play it. A lot of people stream it. There's a lot of YouTubers that play this game and create content around it. And it's great to keep seeing these games come into Stadia with the logo on the title card saying, yes, it's coming day and date. You don't have to worry about it. So we're not confused on whether the game is going to come on November 22nd or if we have to wait for a Stadia this week on Stadia update for it. So, good to see, even though it's not a game for me.
Yeah. Anyway, for those of you who are watching on the YouTube video, I did pause for a little bit to point out that scene that was with all the cars trapped behind the tractor. Because that's what it's like where I live. All right.
That happens when we go to the lake all the time. There's one highway that we go down because it's like 20 minutes faster, but like half the time there'll be like this huge tractor that just pulls in front of you and you're like, oh my God, why didn't I go the other way? Now I'm stuck. There's nowhere to go. There's no cell service over here. Oh, barely any cell service over here. I can't even call a friend or stream music to make the time go faster. So yeah, seeing that kind of made me chuckle a little bit because that is exactly what it's like when you're driving past farmland Manitoba. A lot of big tractors getting in the way and slowing everybody down.
That's right. All right, everybody, that's it for this episode of StadiaCast. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it. You are all awesome. Lloyd, say goodbye.
Later, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday here on StadiaCast.